Hi, welcome back to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Let's get right into today's episode. All right, welcome to another episode of The Rugged Gospel. Today, I have my good friend Fanny with me for a second time. Thank you for accepting the invitation and coming back on the podcast.
Nah, thank you for having me again. It's exciting. It's already the second one?
Second one. Mm-hmm.
The and second. Then
at some point, you'll be the third, and you know.
Well, it's definitely not. But thank you. Thank you for having me on here. I know you've been having such an amazing series, and I'm a super fan of your podcast. So excited to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. But honestly, this one, I think it's one that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. I know not many people talk about it as much. I know I haven't heard many conversations about it. Especially not from like a believer, like Christian standpoint. I feel like I've heard of it outside of that, but not not from believers. But if you don't mind, we're just going to get right into it.
Let's do this.
I know you have a lot of good things to say, so I'm going to wait for all of them.
I think during last time,
remember, I think like, I was just like, I know you're going to say it. I know you're going to say it. And like, I was just like,
it's crazy because I feel like it's like, you know, I don't even know what it is that you're like, oh, she's about to say something. I'm like, ah, how did you know? And then I'm he's like, there it goes.
But, you know, like, as far as, you know, fitness and health goes, you know, we discuss like a lot of things in church, marriage, finances, like parenting, like, and so many other things through our churches. But like, we don't talk about health much. Why do you think that is?
I believe, and I mean, this is just pretty much what I think, but majority of the time we don't talk about topics because we're not right with them ourselves. Health is something that we don't,
you're already starting.
Yeah. And we love everybody. We love God. We love everybody. Just clearing that up. But a lot of times, many people within health don't speak about health because of their own guilt. They don't want to seem hypocritical in regards to talking about a certain subject that they themselves don't apply. And that can go across the board. I mean, with anything, like they don't want to talk about holiness because that's something they don't apply. They don't want to talk about spreading the gospel because that's something they don't do outside of the four walls of the church. We don't talk about things that we know are going to make us uncomfortable personally. And so we were like, oh, well, let someone else talk about it. Because us speaking about a certain thing will challenge us to first be the first ones to apply it. So I feel that may be something that we don't do as much as believers speak about health, because it's something that we ourselves are guilty about it, because we probably neglected ourselves, or just simply we don't know as much as we want to know in order to share about it. If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And now that you're saying it, like it gets me kind of thinking, like, it's like, we do this for a lot of topics, not just this that we're touching on right now. I feel like a lot of the times we don't tend to talk about some things because maybe we're dealing with it, or maybe like we're going through something, or, you know,
yeah.
And we're like, well, how am I supposed to like talk about it with somebody when it's like what I'm doing it too? You know,
exactly.
But I mean, at the end of the day, like the Bible does say to confess your sins to each other so you're healed. So I mean, I'm talking about it here, and I am not the healthiest person alive, so this is gonna hit me as much as everybody else.
And we're not, now I want to just clarify, I'm not a professional, nor am I majored in health and fitness, but I mean, that's something I am striving for, which is in a major in kinesiology, which studies movement and health. So I love it, but I feel like it's really, really, really important, especially nowadays, to speak about our health, because we are now facing a pandemic, and a lot of things that we try to neglect or just cover underneath the carpet or just hide it in the closet and pretend like it's not there. A lot of those deficiencies that our body had or has creeped up on us in this pandemic, and we can hide as much as we can, but when the pandemic comes, I mean, it's something that we're not prepared for, but we can be prepared for certain situations like this. I mean, with all due respect with everyone who did kind of suffer with this pandemic, but there's a lot of things that, because we're so busy with doing one thing or another, we're like, okay, well, I'll take care of it eventually. That eventually doesn't come, and then a pandemic hits, and now you're faced with certain things that it's putting now your life at risk. So I feel it's very important now, because I mean, this is just the beginning of end times, and this is just the, I want to say, just a touch in of what we're going to see. I mean, days are not going to get brighter, but I mean, there's that hope that within God we can overcome. So I feel like I'm thankful for you having this conversation.
Definitely agree on all you're saying. And before we get into the next couple questions, I want to bring it up a little, I guess, evidence, right, of like issues of like physical health and how it is in America today, right? So I'm just going to throw a couple stats out there. So 70% of Americans are overweight or obese. And this is according to the American Heart Association. That's 70% of people. So out of 10 people, 7 people are either overweight or obese. Now Christians, right? A 2006 study at Purdue found Christians by far are the most overweight of all religious groups. Baptists had a 30% obesity rate compared with Jews at just 1%, Buddhists at 0.07%.
Wow. So
out of like all the different religious groups, we are the most overweight. Now, nearly one half of American population will be obese by 2030. We can just like, there's a lot more stats out there, but this was just like a couple of them that I wanted to mention, just like in general America, but also like just within the Christian community, like how Christian is the one of the biggest like religious groups out there. It's the most overweight of all of them, which is kind of crazy to me. But just wanted to throw that out there and get everybody kind of thinking about it and seeing that. But let's keep going with the conversation. Next question that I have for you was, do you think many believers like actually pay attention to what they eat?
Now, I don't want to generalize this to everybody, because I do believe there is people out there who do strongly take care of themselves as the temple of God. I don't want to jump into that just yet. But many of us, I feel like, sadly, of what I've seen, is because we are so busy with one activity after the other, or having to go someplace or to another, we're always on a go, and there's that lack of discipline, and or just that, I want to say, yeah, that lack of discipline in regards to pretty much watching what we eat, because either it's something fast, something that's fast is usually not healthy, something just grab a snack, and when you're grabbing a snack, sometimes again it's not healthy, and I don't think many people do pay attention to what they eat just because they don't have the time to pay attention to what they eat, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Does that answer the question? That
was confusing. No, it does make sense. many people are on the go, especially here in the US. Like everybody's like always going crazy, and everybody's all over the place all the time. I myself hate when people say like, I'm too busy. I'm like, there is 24 hours in one day. You are not busy every minute and every hour of the day.
Right.
5 or 6 out of those hours, you're laying on your couch or on your bed watching I don't know what, and just look at your weekly report. And
you beat me to it.
So, you know, it's like there is time. You know, at some point of the day, you have a little bit of time to, hey, like, I'm going to be busy tomorrow. Let's prepare something that I can take and eat on the go when I'm going to be doing whatever I'm going to be doing, instead of just stopping by Taco Bell, you know?
Exactly. When you do something like that, go to through a drive-through of a fast food place, it's easier to find a fast food place, especially on the go. But when, if you notice, I mean, I'm not sure if anyone can agree to this, but fast food is cheaper than healthy food.
Oh, yeah.
And so some people, I mean, if you were to actually make time for, let's say, meal prepping and going one day grocery instead of spending 2 hours on Netflix or on TikTok or on Instagram or whatever it may be, or just, I don't know, whatever it may be. You take those 2 hours and actually go grocery shopping on a budget. I'm sure you'll spend less and you'll be able to eat healthier, and you'll have time to make for other things. I mean, you're going to use those 2 hours, whether it can be 30 or 40 minutes for shopping, for the right groceries, and then cooking and prepping for the rest of the week. Then rather than be wasting gas, wasting time, and not putting your health at risk for trying to do the fastest route. And I guess it's just, I mean, it's all upon decision about ourselves and how much we really want it, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's true. And honestly, like, we can even, like, and I'm just going to go off by me, like, if you get something quick, like, how do you feel afterwards? Oh, like, let's be honest. You're just like, I don't want to do anything. Like, I'm so lazy. Like, you know, that you go into a coma and you're just like,
Because it wasn't the proper meal. The proper meal will energize you. The proper meal will get you going, will be that right fuel for you. But it's like you're throwing water into an engine where you're not supposed to. And now you're throwing the wrong food into your own body, and you want it to still work out 100%, but you're prepping it for a 10%, you know? And so you can't expect your body or yourself to be working at full potential when you're not prepping or fueling it for the right potential.
She went off again. but honestly, like, it's true. Like, I always tell everybody, and everybody always, like, either looks at me weird or laughs. And I'm like, McDonald's makes me depressed after I eat it.
Oh, I don't know when the last time I ever had McDonald's. I'm not a fan.
I am not a fan either.
I'm like, sorry.
I never Please have
don't
it.
Cancel me.
No, it's like, it's the worst thing you can eat. And yes, you know, shade to McDonald's. But, you know, like,
we refuse McDonald's.
To keep the conversation going. And hey, before I move on, Chick-fil-A is still fast food. Even if they're holier, it's still fast food.
He went there, guys.
In-N-Out too. I know they have the braces on the, you know, everywhere on their cups and their everything. But anyways.
But I do want to clarify, though, there is options of you making your meals healthier. There's options. There's always the healthy menu that no one wants to see on the very bottom right corner, because they just want to go for the Chick-fil-A order number one, number two. Guilty, you know, but it's just, there are healthy options out there. But we try to just like, why? I'll eventually eat healthier on Monday. And it's like, it's been like never. That for the past Monday never comes.
Monday never comes. But now, like, moving on from this, like, and keeping the conversation kind of rolling.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure, you know, like, at some point somebody has heard this before. And, you know, I know, like, not just apostolic, so just the Christianity in general, a lot of believers, like, we've heard this before. You know, us apostolics, right, quotation marks, like, we don't drink and we don't smoke, but we sure can eat. And when they say it, it's almost like they're proud about it. And I'm like, you shouldn't be proud about that.
And this one triggers me so much. In Spanish, para los que hablan español como yo y como Jesús también, es, nosotros no tomamos, no fumamos, pero bien que le entramos, ¿no? And it's like, and it's, you're ready to go eat and cucharón feliz. No, I'm just kidding. that's a fundraiser. That's a fundraiser. And we love it. But
you took me back like 10 years.
Hey, we still do it at Cedar Refuge. No, I'm just kidding. Shout out. But it's that pride in, I don't smoke. I don't drink. But, man, we sure can eat. And it may be funny at some points, but is it really going to be funny when your deficiencies within your own body start keeping up with you with high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes? I mean, you name it, one thing after another. Diabetes type 2 within our own children in church. I mean, it's so common. And then because there's lack of physical activity, I mean, it's all funny. Like, okay, you're not smoking, you're not drinking, but you're bringing the same effect to your body within food, because you're neglecting it. So So what's the point of not smoking or drinking if you're still damaging your body as bad as it can be damaged within smoking and drinking, you know? And so that to me triggers me a lot. And it takes me to a verse that I do want to share with you and with everyone who's listening. But Isaiah chapter 53 says the following in verse 4. And I love how it says in Spanish. I'm a full Spanish speaker. But in English, it says the following. It says, however, it was our sicknesses that he himself bore and our pains that he carried. Yet we ourselves assumed that he had been afflicted, struck down by God, and humiliated. But he was pierced for our offenses. He was crushed for our wrongdoings. Punishment for our well-being was laid upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. This message, I mean, this part of the scripture, I mean, it takes us back to Calvary and what God did for us on that cross. But it's the fact that he says it was our sicknesses that he himself bore for us. He said he was pierced for us. He was humiliated for us. All our wrongdoings were on him. The punishment that was for us was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And so when I think about this scripture and that connected to health and that connected to fitness, it's when us neglecting our health and it's us neglecting our bodies and what God, it's pretty much telling God, what you did on the cross for me just doesn't relate to me. Like, it wasn't for me. Like, thank you, but no thanks. It's God taking up the sicknesses that were for us on that cross for us. Yet it's us being like, okay, God, thank you for the cross, but I'm gonna pick up this sickness. Mm. Oh, let me pick up this other thing. Or I know you took diabetes to the cross, but let me pick it up over here. Oh, I know you took cholesterol. I know you took high blood pressure, but I like it in my hand. So it's like, so what God did on that cross was for what? Was it really worth it? He mm-hmm. did it for us. He took our sicknesses. He took our punishment. He took the humiliation. And then it says by his wounds, we are healed. Now that to me is an offense as a believer and knowing that God went through this whole suffering for us to just be like, nah, I don't care. Let me go pick up that sickness. Let me neglect what you did on the cross by neglecting my body, by neglecting my temple. And we might say like, oh, well, that sounds really crucial. That sounds really mean. I would never say such thing. But it's not what you say. It's your actions, the decisions you make day by day with taking care of your health by applying fitness into your life. It's just pretty much just, it's like laughing in the face of God saying what you did on the cross is just not for me. Because yeah. I still want that sickness in my life.
Dang. I never thought about it that way. And it's true. Like, we've all heard this, like, verse before in our life. Mm-hmm. Like, especially if you're a believer and you're, like, somebody that maybe was brought in church. Like, you've heard this verse many times.
It's the gospel. And
yeah. But, like, many times we don't put it in the way you just put it now. It's, like, it's true. Like, he also died for that. Mm-hmm. It's almost like you can compare it to sin. Like, he died for your sins to forgive you for your sins. And then you go out and sin.
And still do it.
In the same way, like, you know, he died for, you know, for that as well. And go out and do all these things to your body. It's almost the same thing, you know?
It's just for me, it's like, I mean, there's a part of his crucifixion where it's just about the sins and iniquities and things that we did wrong and we are to do wrong that he took upon the cross. But there's that side of the crucifixion that does talk about our health. It says by his wounds. And I'm thinking about me when we talk about scripture and we talk about the crucifixion, it's not even a 10% of what we saw in the Passion of Christ. You know, it says like he, era irreconocible. You can't even recognize him because of how hurt he was and how much pain he did suffer. Like, you can't even recognize who he was at the very end once he was about to be put upon the cross. And it's just like, he went through all that for you and me. And yet it's like we add more to his wounds, or it's like a slap to the face by saying, hey, I know you did that for me, but I still want to pick up those sicknesses you took on to the cross.
Just for some damn tacos.
There's a balance. There's Dang. A balance. And for me, it's just, I feel like it's very disrespectful. It's for instance, me saying, you know what, I'm going to, as a friend, I'm going to donate my kidney for you. because I know your other kidney was just failing and you really need it and you need to survive. And after I give you my kidney, you still go back to the old habits and now damage it again. And you put your life at risk. And you can be blaming me. Well, it was the kidney you gave me. No. Like, my kidney was healthy. And all of a sudden, now you're going through the same things because you were neglecting your health. And then, I mean, I didn't want to go there too soon, but then we start blaming the enemy, thinking it was the enemy who brought these sicknesses upon us, when it was just our decisions that eventually caught up to us, and now we're dealing with this.
We try and blame somebody else for what we did.
Yes. Oh, dang it. The enemy's like, not even, he's chilling, not even paying attention to you, and you're out here just...
We are going crazy and stuffing our faces. Man, that was
good. And again, I do want to clarify. I mean, in health, I mean, the definition of health, according to WHO, is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. So many of us, I mean, and I know this is probably something we might be talking about a little bit within the conversation, but many of us are like, well, I don't have certain sickness. Well, I don't have certain things. Well, at least I'm better than so-and-so. At least I'm not like this person. But you know your body has the potential of being better, and yet you become stagnant and comfortable. And it's not the lack of a disease within your life. It's the well-being of all aspects in your life, whether it be physical, whether it be mental, whether it be emotional. And we can add on to it spiritually, you know? But that's the well-being of who we are goes in all four areas in our lives. Not just because, well, at least I'm not like so-and-so person. Look at him. Look at her. No. What does God call you out to be? What is God calling you to do within taking care of who you are and what God gifted you with? I mean, not many have the blessing of being born with what you have, and you take it for granted. You don't even thank God every day for it, you know? So it's that well-being in all areas, not just in one certain area. But like, well, at least I don't smoke. Well, at least I don't drink. No. Okay, you don't smoke, you don't drink, but how's this deficiency in your life, you know? And so that's something that I want to just jump onto within what really health is.
That was good, honestly. Now, like, kind of keeping the conversation going with, you know, scripture and all these different things, right? I know you mentioned the temple of God, our bodies being the temple of God. So let's go a little bit into that. So 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, it says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple." So that's 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. We have to take care of our health to be good stewards of that temple, which is our body. So do you think by us not eating correctly, not, you know, like not being healthy, maybe not exercising and not like keeping our body healthy, are we going against the word of God?
100%. I strongly believe that if God is calling you out to do something, I mean, it's our job to do it. Us being the temple, I mean, we are representing the kingdom. We are representing God. And I don't think God wants us to represent him in the way that we know is not a healthy manner. We know it's not going to lead anyone to, I mean, it's again, going back to what God did for us, and us neglecting what he did for us on that cross, and then eventually portraying the opposite of what he did for us. We are the church. We are the temple. And not many people get a chance to, again, I think we can take this back to like when we're sharing the gospel, not many people have access to going to like the Bible and understanding what the Bible says, or walking into a church. But we are that representation of God on the street, at our job, at our schools, or whatever we're at, even on social media. We are the representation of who God is, and us taking care of our temples. I mean, I'm going to tie that verse that you read to Romans 12:1-2, which is pretty much along the lines. It says, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world." And I want to read that other half for another question. But he's like, to present your bodies as living sacrifice. and holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. I know sometimes we get stuck on the holy and acceptable to God, which is, I 100% agree to it, but as a living sacrifice. When in the Old Testament, there were being sacrifices, they had to bring the best out of the best. The healthiest, the strongest, the one that you protected from beginning to end. Now, we are ourselves the living sacrifice to God. Are we taking care of ourselves the way we used to take care of those animals back in the Old Testament, from beginning to end, living sacrifices? Or are we just giving God our leftovers, or this is as much as I took care of? It's living sacrifices. But yet we have certain things within us, certain organs within us, certain cells, certain nervous systems within us that are falling apart, sadly. And we still want to say, oh, well, God, this is what I have. Yet God gave you the best and you give him half of what God gave you. He gave your body. He gave you your body to take care of, to present to God as a living sacrifice. Yet we neglect it, and yet we still want to present it to God. And the beautiful part about it is like, which is your spiritual worship? We try to disconnect the physical and the spiritual by saying, well, okay, well, the physical doesn't really matter because God sees the heart, you know? But what if God saw your actual heart? What if God was a cardiologist and he checks out your heart and it's like, well, your heart's like 50% there. Like,
it's all clogged, you know, up.
It's like, what's going on, you know? And it's like, presenting ourselves, this is present your bodies as living sacrifice. It doesn't say present your spiritual life. It doesn't say present your mental state of being. It doesn't say anything else but your bodies, your human flesh, you as a person, as a living sacrifice. They presented before God the best. And are we presenting ourselves as the best to God as a sacrifice?
Good.
And it's your worship. It's your worship. I mean, is it going to be your worship, or is it just going to be leftovers of who you, of what God gave you? It's like, okay, God, you gave me this, but, well, you see, I got busy. Oh, well, excuse one, excuse two. And, well, this is what I have left over, God. And this is my worship. This is my worship, my leftovers.
Yeah. To add a little bit to that, you know, the Bible shares, this is in 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it kind of goes along the lines of what you were saying too. It says, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And it's literally saying eat and drink. So whatever you're eating, whatever you're drinking, you have to do it for the glory of God. And it isn't easy, honestly. Like, most people don't go and ask God for help with like forming a healthy like eating habit or exercise habit. But you could go to God for that. Most people don't. Like, I've never prayed and been like, God, please help me. I'm eating too much fast food, you know? But you could. And he gives us the spirit of like self-control. All so right. Self-control is huge, especially in this whole thing that we're talking about. Buddy that maybe has like has been on a diet or a workout plan knows that like willpower doesn't really last that long.
Right.
It's like a greater power that is needed. And like, just know that God is ready to help even with this. But, and also,
there's, you know, nothing too big or too small for God to come before him within prayer.
And, you know, we're not also, you know, like something that I wanted to go into too, like, we're not shaming anybody for the way they look or the extra pounds. We probably all have.
I'm going to add myself to there.
You know, it's just about like stewarding that temple better, you know. This should bring conviction, not like any condemnation. It's not about worrying like about your weight or beating yourself up for like how you look. I just honestly think it's just being mindful how we're treating our body, that body that God gave us, you know, like you were saying earlier.
And there's space for growth for everybody in all areas of our life. And again, I don't want to be that person who's like, well, Fanny said this and then I get canceled, you know. It's just for me within learning about health and advocating for health, I strongly believe prevention is the best medicine. And us make decisions now to change our habits, to change our lifestyles, will eventually take us to a place where we are able to fulfill even the purpose of God within our lives. This is nothing to shame upon anybody, I know there's people who are out there trying, and I applaud you. There's people who tomorrow, after probably listening to this, are going to start making life-changing decisions, and I applaud you as well. If you gave up, I mean, there's always today, there's always tomorrow for us to do better. And this goes to me, myself. I mean, I'm not saying I'm 100% the most fittest person in the world, but I do take all this scripture, I do take all this knowledge into consideration in regards to my lifestyle. And Word of God says, and this is something my dad always kind of just drills into our mind, but I'll read it in English. It says, James chapter 4, verse 17, remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. It's once you know that knowledge, it's once you know what you have to do. Many of us know this. Sometimes, like I said from the beginning, we don't want to talk about it because of the guilt of like, oh man, who am I to speak about it? Or mm-hmm. what are people going to say now that I'm trying? Or yo era siempre la gordita, el gordito, and it was just funny growing up. And then now it's just not really want to try and change it. Or now I'm older. Now I'm trying to start a family. Now I have children and I don't want that same habit to fall upon them and then go down the road or journey that I went through. So again, this is not to shame anybody. We love everybody, but I just feel like we can all do better in regards to our health. And I know we can be a blessing to other people with the knowledge that we now know.
Yeah. And it's so true. Let's take a little bit on, you know, the topic of like self-esteem, eating disorders. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some yes. people eat a lot, but some people don't eat enough. And that's also not healthy. So we're not talking about people that are overweight only, but people that are maybe not eating the right way or like as much as they're supposed to be eating too. You know, like we have to really see that it's not only the outside. Mm-hmm. You know, 1 Samuel 16:7 says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. You know, that's where he first looks. Of course, you know, he also wants you to take care of your temple, but your outward appearance is not the main thing. He created all of this uniquely, you know? Yeah, go for it. What's the story?
It's a little story. It was me in high school. I mean, I was doing... And don't condemn me, guys, but I was in a dance team. This is before before Christ. I was in a dance team. I was doing track and I was doing soccer. And at some point I did cheer too. So this is me going like from there was not an off season for me within high school. And so they saw me and they're like, this is back in Arizona. So we were doing sports in 100 degrees. We're like the warm up was 3 miles. And so comes a point your body gets used to it. But they would look at me and they're like, look at her. She's super scrawny. She lacks iron. She's so thin. Like she's unhealthy. And they will compare me to a relative who was a little bit chunkier than me. Oh, she's full of life. She's full of love. Look at her. She's strong and healthy. And look at those bones. She has all that calcium within her. And later on, months after, we had to go get a physical because the school required it every year. And so when I went to go get my physical, I was like, I'm going to get the worst news because I'm super skinny and look at me, my skin, you can see my bones. And it was just, I was just a scrawny little girl. And then my relative is going to be super strong. And what's the point of me doing all these sports and trying to be healthy? And so we go and get her physical done. We get her results back. Come to find out that me being the skinny one was the only thing that I was lacking. This is me sharing my medical report. My only thing I was lacking was my good cholesterol was low. So what they were telling me was I had to eat fish, I had to eat shrimp, which was my cup of tea. So I was like, oh, this is perfectly fine. You know, I love this diagnostic. And then my relative came out being anemic because her lifestyle was different. And so what do I have to say? Again, this is not true. Like it kind of sounds like it's like throwing shade for a little heavier set, but it can go backwards. It can be like, okay, well, look at her. She's heavier than me, or she's heavier than I don't know, the average person. And I'm healthy. I'm skinny. But if you go get a physical done, I mean, you can't lie there. And it's not just because of how you look, or because for people were stereotyping me or just like judging me by how I look. But yet again, within me, I was actually on the healthier side compared to this person who was full of life or llena de amor, como dicen en español. And the same goes with people nowadays who are just trying to, again, we were trying to talk, kind of talking about this prior to the conversation, where it's just like, just because you look a certain way does not mean you actually are healthy, because it's a status quo, or because it's culture, because it's the trend within social media. I have to look this size. I have to look this tiny of a waist, or this size of, I don't know, whatever you want to do with your body. But just because, I mean, the temple of God goes both ways, whether a heavier set or underweight, just because the word of God is saying, this is where I was trying to share earlier. I was reading Romans 12 and I read verse 1, but verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern that is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. What does the word of God say, which should be what should be governing our minds, not be transformed by what the world says? I mean, okay, you have to look like certain Instagram model. You have to look like certain Twitter model. That is what healthy is. That is what being the right fit to what is this culture now does not really mean you're really taking care of your health. I mean, a lot of people, because they're trying to fit in, are not sleeping right, are not eating right. Their health is, you can even see it in their eyes, or your eyes are supposed to be super wide. You can see, I mean, if you're anemic, and this is kind of just like a little quick health fact, is you can kind of see their eyes are a little bit yellowish. And so now, because you're trying to fit in, I mean, you're putting your body at risk, and it's sad to see, because I feel like nowadays it's hitting a lot of our younger girls. I used to say that, but now it even hits the younger males too, where they're like, well, I have to look like a certain bodybuilder. I have to look like a certain fitness model. Now, don't be fooled by what you see on social media. Half the things are filtered, or half these things are Photoshopped. Mm-hmm. And I've seen it before where I think they had like this fit expo, and this person you saw on Instagram, and I was like, man, me personally, I'm like, body goals, like, I gotta work harder. I need to stop drinking less Starbucks. <You know? laughs> I need to do this in order to like this person. And then, I mean, let's be honest and let's be real. We go and see their tag pictures, right? And it's like, whoa, wait a second. This does not look half the waist size of this person on their actual feed. And then this comes to show me, at the end of the day, we're all human, and we're all, I mean, I love like there's some actual fitness models out there, or fitness advocates, who are like, hey, like, these are angles. This is with an angle. This is without an angle. This is with filter. This is without a filter. But sadly, we still have a lot of younger people, and not even younger people, I guess you can say, across all ages within our church, that are just trying to fit into what the world wants them to fit into, rather than what the word is trying to make you fit into. So take the L out of the world and go back into the word, and understand that you have a higher calling to be what God created you to be than what this world is trying to make you think that you're supposed to be.
So true. Honestly, like, as far as like social media goes, and, you know, like, just the world goes, like, I feel like a lot of women and a lot of men, like, try to find their identity there, and like, get rooted in that, and like, everything that the social media just throws at us, you know. It says here 91% of women say the way they look makes them unhappy. So, you know, I feel like the church needs to address health and body image more, because they're often like related, you know, the body image side and like health. But honestly, like, self-esteem too, you know, like, I feel like it's kind of comes from a place where the enemy can gain control in a way, because without scripture, or without the knowledge of scripture, there is nothing to really fight back with. So if the church is not talking about it enough, and not giving enough scripture about it, and not telling you there is scripture about it, like, how are you supposed to fight back, you know? So we can't just keep being quiet about it. I think we have to, you know, be able to speak about it more, so people know how to handle that emotional side of things, and not just measuring up to what the world is saying, or the world's pressure, you know?
I feel like, sorry to interrupt, but I feel like lack of self-esteem is always ties down, or goes hand in hand with lack of identity. When you don't know who you are, it's like, if I know that I was created by God and for God, that itself is already a stone within me, a foundation of, you know what? Like, I was created by God and for God. And it's like, just identity.
Mm-hmm. And it's true. Like, honestly, like, we need to see and we need to teach that health and body, like, confidence. We need to, like, teach it and see it through the lens of, like, the scripture and Christ. If we see it
and
that way.
Seeing,
like,
seeing ourselves the way God sees us, mm-hmm. is very important. And I think we use this a little bit out of context. I'm going to use this story more into this context. But someone told me, and it was for another season of my life. But if I tell you there's a mountain right before you, and then there's the sun, and it's glowing onto it, and it's beautiful, the scenery, the birds are flying over. But if you don't want to turn around and see it, I can't force you to see something that you don't want to see. I can't force a picture within your eyes. All you got to do is turn around and see it. I can't force you to believe what God is telling you to believe. I can tell you all the scriptures. I can tell you what God has done on the cross for you. But if you don't want to see it, then that's where self-esteem comes in. And the enemy starts messing with your mind and starts messing with who you are, what you ought to be, what you ought to do. And eventually it starts creeping onto you into affecting even your lifestyle. And sadly, a bad lifestyle will put your health at risk.
Yeah, it's true. Now, do you think, like, being healthy, and just kind of moving on a little bit from what we were talking about right now, like, do you think being healthy helps us serve God better?
I feel like everyone in who's listening to this is like, 100%. it's so important. You're not taking care of your health, it's going to affect you in all areas of your life. Again, we said it can be social, it can be physical, mental health, spiritually. Now, if you don't, when you had to take a big test in high school, and it's like that one test you have to take in order to pass, and I don't know what's the name of the test, it's been a while, but oh man, I'm not one trying to throw my age out there.
same. Let's not talk about it.
Let's talk about health. Okay.
So next question.
Next question. No, it's, they would always send a letter to your parents. Make sure your child sleeps and eats correctly, so they're focused and they're energized to go ahead and do this test correctly. And so they can have a better result within their test. Now, if that's something we're being taught as kids or teenagers in high school, how much more can we apply this into our work areas? I mean, within our jobs, but not just that. This is something, I mean, school, and we're not trying to say don't go to school, don't go to work. Everyone go to school and go to work. But if it was as important for school, and it is as important for our jobs, and it is as important for our daily activities, how much more important is it for us to do it for the God-given purpose placed upon our lives? It's important for us. I mean, majority of people are like, and I don't want to go there, but we don't get enough sleep. And then at service, or when we're about to do any certain activity, we're falling asleep. We're half energized. We're not eating correctly. We're tired. We're also, even this, I mean, and this is something I just recently kind of like went through, and I went to go minister in Denver, and Denver is known to be Mile High City. Now, where I live right now currently is like 550 elevation, and out there is 5,000 elevation. So me not drinking water, me not sleeping correctly, or me not eating correctly, the height of where I'm at is going to creep up on me. So no more jumping around for praise break. Less shouting, less speaking, because then now I'm out of breath. Then now I'm tired, and I'm about to pass out. Pretty much what it is. And it's for me, for instance, when I play soccer, when I play soccer Saturday mornings, I have to make sure throughout the week I'm hydrated, I'm fed correctly, I sleep enough in order for me to play the best game. Now, this just came to me. Me being that player who neglects my health can cost my team to lose. Ooh. How much more in the kingdom of God? Me neglecting my health can make my team, my church lose because I was just not responsible enough for eating correctly, staying hydrated, sleeping correctly. And then I want to blame the devil. Oh, this wasn't, we didn't do well because, I mean, the enemy's trying to attack the church. No, 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 sir. It's me. That if my team players are like, Steph, come on, run. And I can't run because I'm tired or because I didn't even sleep correctly or run further or catch the ball or kick the ball. I don't have the strength to kick the ball. Same goes within the church. Hey, Steph, can you serve here? No. Oh, man, I'm tired. Hey, Steph, can you go pray for that someone? Oh, man, I can barely get up. Like, oh, hey, Steph, like, can you go sing? Can you do this? Can you do that? Because I'm not taking care of my health, because I'm not making time for my body, I'm not making time of taking care of this temple, I'm causing my team to lose.
Mm, that was good. That was really good. I knew it was coming.
I was like,
I saw it. That's the light just went on. And I saw the light.
You
on.
Know me too well.
But
that is important.
It's so true. Now, before we move on, like, kind of wanted to put my little thought into that to add on,
even though you pretty much
said all of it. So again, right, scripture. I'm going to read Hebrews 12:1, and it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us."
That's just perfect.
That last little sentence. Let us run with endurance that race that is set before us, right? That just kind of says it, right? An unhealthy lifestyle can affect every aspect of our lives. From like having low energy, like brain fog, knee, back pain, heart disease, all these different physical like manifestations of like not taking care of our bodies go way beyond just gaining weight. You know, feeling our best physically, spiritually, emotionally, it's going to help us do better and greater for God and what he's called us to do, you know, with our lives. So we need to be really careful with that. So I just wanted to add that little thing on there.
Which is perfect. I mean, the Olympics right now is so huge. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can see the Olympics everywhere we go, and they're talking about Olympics and about team playing. And it's the relay race that always I love watching, where it's like they have to go full speed, pass the baton, full speed again, and pass the baton. And there's a generation before us that is ready to pass the baton to us within our ministries and what we're about to do with the church. But because we're lacking that of like even taking care of ourselves in the little things that we may see, like we want God to take us to the bigger places and the little things, which is their health, we don't want to even take care of, then what really is there to do? Now, going back to what you were saying, and you can cut that off, but going back to what you were saying is, and running that race, it's just in the relay race, they're expecting that each team player to do their best. You know, my team, my soccer team is expecting me to, I play forward. So if the ball is coming from goalie to defense, to mid, to now forward, my goal is to score a goal, you know, and they did this whole work in order for me to score that goal. Now, again, going back to the example of me neglecting my position, can cause my team to lose and their efforts be worthless. Now, my team is depending on me to win, to finish off that play. Because we weren't able to take care of our health, there's a church that needs you and you're not there to develop or work within your ministry. And because you neglected your health, now you're neglecting your ministry. And because you neglected your ministry, now you're neglecting the salvation of someone else who needs to come and know God, because you didn't want to start off with the simple things, which was your health. And how can you expect to finish the race when you can't even get the race started? God, talk to me.
Being slapped around here. Anyway, so, you know, from this to even something lighter, let's talk about gluttony.
Gluttony.
You know, like, okay, now with this, right, gluttony, like many Christians quickly just look and point to smoking, drinking, you know, like we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
But tend to forget that gluttony is also a sin. Why do you think that is? Why don't we put this sin and this other gluttony sin in the same field?
To answer that, the only thing that comes to mind is self-righteousness. It's I'm doing better in this area. So, I mean, I won't be judged as hard because at least I'm not doing as bad as so-and-so in person. And this comes to me, I always explain it to, I like sharing with the younger people. It's just my sin to another person's sin may not be the same, but sin is sin. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. we're like, we can be like, well, at least I'm not smoking. At least I'm not drinking. At least I'm not fornicating. At least I'm not adultering. But hey, that gluttony was part of the list. And if there's no check mark on there, then at the end of the day, you are still sinning. And it says, I mean, as we were reading in James 4, it's like, for you know what to do and you still don't do it, then it is sin.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, that same sin is still to God, to the cross. And that's sin. And if gluttony is still sin, we have to repent. And by repenting, it doesn't mean like, okay, God, forgive me. It's like, I repent, but now I'm changing that lifestyle. I'm changing that and I won't do it again. Because in Spanish, and I don't know what the word is in English, but Spanish is remordimiento, where it's just like, okay, God, I feel bad, but it's okay. You'll forgive me again. And we can take advantage of grace, even in other areas where we think it's not as bad. And we use it even for gluttony. And yep. And it's sad to see that because it's so common because everyone else does it, yeah. Even within church. So, oh, hermano does it, hermana does it. So mm-hmm. I'm okay with it. If and God just, is calling it out.
And just so everybody knows, right? Like gluttony, like what it is, like pretty much like to put it in short words, like an excess of eating. So it's you eating and then just keeping that going, like eating more than you're supposed to eat, eating more than, you know, when you're already like full and you're like, nah, I can have like three more tacos. Like, it's cool. Like I can take it, you know? And it's like,
por amor a la obra.
Yeah. Yeah.
The love of the kingdom. I'm supporting the church and the fundraisers.
Yeah. It's like, I got to bike four more, you know, to
why not give those extra $3 and give it reach to a homeless
that goal, you know? But you yeah. know, like there's a lot of word for that, like for gluttony itself, and we don't tend to pay it so much attention to that
because it makes us uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly. Because we know we're a lot of us are doing it, you know, guilty. And it's like, hey, it's a sin, you know. Just a quick one that I wanted to mention. There's a lot in Proverbs, so read Proverbs like anywhere from like 23 to 28. And you'll see a lot of it there. But one that I wanted to mention was, it says, do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and the drowsiness clothes them in rags. Don't you can become kind of like drowsy when you're like overeating? Like you're just like, eh.
Food coma.
It literally says it right there in the Bible. There's not much more to say than just, go back to the word of God. It's yeah. right there. And it says not to join those people. It's like,
ouch.
You know,
it's cancel. Like, that's a cancel. You got to cancel.
Yep. It's like, you just have to really like, and there's some crazy ones out there. Like another one, I don't even want to say it. It says, put a knife to your throat if you are given into gluttony. Proverbs 23:2. That's crazy. And there's so much like scripture to it that like when I was kind of like, was researching and like looking into it, like I was like, I didn't know there was that much. But we have to really see it, like it's a sin, and we have to honestly like really look more into it and really pay attention to that, because right. yeah, we might not be doing all these other things like you were saying, but if we're doing this, we're still sinning, and at the end of the day, you know, we're abusing that grace and what God did for us on that cross, like you were mentioning earlier. But
I want to add to it. Can I
go for it? Yeah.
Something you were saying, it's like when gluttony, it's when we excessively eat and the effects of excessive eating. Now, the effects of drinking too much alcohol, what do you get? You get a hungover. And you're feeling all like, oh, I want to throw up, or you're sleeping. The effects of smoking can be the same. Now, the effects of overeating are almost similar to the same as drinking. And so at the beginning of the podcast, you were saying something about there's time for everything. Now, the effects of overeating, we get those food comas. And what happens with the food coma, what comes with it? A nap. And so now that nap just took away 2-3 hours away from your day. If you're the average person taking a nap, you know, those 2 hours could have been for you having a devotional. Those 2 hours could have been for you praying. Those 2 hours could have been you reaching out for a lost soul. Those 2 hours could have been for you to do community outreach, doing any community volunteer work, you listening to another podcast, you listening to a preaching, so on and so forth. We blame not having enough time, but it's the little things. It's sometimes like, okay, I don't have enough time during the day. Well, why not? Go to the root of it. And it's simple little things that's overeating that, oh, because I overate, now I'm tired. Now I sleep. And okay, now I don't have time. And then we blame our lack of growth within ministry on other people. It's so easy to point the fingers. Well, it's because they never use me. Well, it's because they never call me. Or God doesn't have a calling on me. What are you doing with your time? Mm. What are you doing with yourself? And it's like, well, I'm not growing. I'm not like such and such person. You start comparing yourself. Or even then you even start competing. Well, I can do this better than such and such fourth person. But it's this gluttony. It's like, it's already costing your ministry. It's already costing your calling. It's already costing your purpose. That's probably why God was like, might as well just put a knife to your neck. If that's the beginning of what is going to be the effect, the long-term effects of your life, just might as well do it now. But the grace of God is greater than that, which is like, hey, this is what gluttony does. This is what not taking care of yourself. This is the lack of a health or knowledge within your life that you can make a change today. You can make a decision of improving your lifestyle. But it's those little things that sometimes we're like, well, it's because I'm not smart enough, or I didn't go to Bible college. I didn't go to this. But it's even just making the right decisions of having time management within your life to make time for your ministry, make time to invest time into your calling that will help us grow within what God has wanted us to do. And sometimes we don't fulfill our purpose just by simple little things of not eating correctly.
Yep, honestly. But taking the conversation into the last like part of the conversation, and just maybe like going into maybe some ways that people can maybe change, right? So
let's give the solution to the problem.
I know, right? At least try. We're not any crazy trainers or anything like that. Doctors. So, you know, if you need to reach out to somebody, do it. But, you know, how can people start having like better eating habits, in your opinion?
First off, change comes when we realize there is a problem. Knowing and understanding that, you know what, there has to be a change within your life is the starting point of making life-changing decisions within your life. And that goes across the board with anything within your life that is not benefiting your life. So first point is pointing out and acknowledging, you know what, hey, I need to make a change in my life. And knowing that that change of just taking care of your health is going to be an effect on everything that surrounds you. It's going to be your calling. It's going to be your purpose. It's going to be your marriage. It's going to be your children. It's going to be everything. It's first off understanding that, one, you need to make change. Two, I personally recommend, and I highly recommend, you visit a doctor. So they can do a physical, and you know exactly what you need to work on. You know what type of goals to set, because I can start up and be like, well, physically, I can go and say, okay, well, let's do a little bit more cardio. Let's start cutting back a little bit of weight around that water weight. And then they start building up and doing some more weight training. And then for your eating habits, they start eating this. But I think, and I 100% believe that the best thing to do would be to visit your personal doctor, get a physical done, and then you know what exactly you need to eat you need to do because of the deficiencies you may be having within your body that you probably don't even know that you've been having or carrying on for I don't know how many years. So that to me would be one, because for instance, me, when I thought I was fit and skinny, I mean, little did I know my good cholesterol was low. So I had to change some eating habits there. But if I didn't go to a doctor, I would have never known. I could have still be doing whatever I was doing and still not being the healthiest person ever. So I would recommend you guys go to your doctor first off to get that physical done and to know what things, because it's going to be really important. When it comes to health and fitness, before the working out, I mean, 90% of being healthy starts in the kitchen. I mean, we hear that left and right. It's making better choices. But if I'm telling you, hey, you know what, you need to eat more sweet potatoes or you need to eat more broccoli, for some people it can be beneficial. For some people, I mean, it cannot, because not just only your body yourself, but medical history. I mean, there are certain things that, for instance, in my family, there was a point, and that it takes me back. I'm a super soccer fan. It takes me back to the World Cup in Brazil. And we were all excited. We were all there. But at the end of the day, I had an uncle who was just having so much pain. And little did we know, eventually later on, we found out he had kidney stones, which is super common on my dad's side of the family. And because they love drinking black soda. And so black soda does cause a lot of kidney stones. And I'm that girl that 3-4 months, my parents were putting soda in my bottle. Like, that's how much we drink. We drink soda. There wasn't milk, water, juices, or anything, but in my house, there's always soda. No shade to my family. I love them. But that was that. And that's when I decided, you know what? I'm not drinking black soda. And ever since, I think it's going to go on to like 6, almost 8 years that I don't drink black soda because of it. But it's the decisions of like not going through the same cycles that your family goes through. It's you breaking those generational curses. It's you changing pretty much what you, it's like, there's a quote, it's like, well, it's because obesity runs, and this just sounds so mean, but it's just like, no, unhealthiness runs in our family. And it's like, no, no one runs in your family. You know, it's like, it's like, I read that and I was like, oh no, it's like my family is, you know, like, and my medical history, I mean, it's really important for you to know what things come within genetics, mm-hmm. Which I do have another verse I want to share about that, like, but that's more at the end. You have to know what pretty much things your family goes through, so you can be like already just ahead of the game, like, okay, high blood pressure. Well, you know what? I need to stop eating certain things, or have to make sure I'm not eating, take away salt from my meals, or whatever changes you need to do within nutrition. But again, knowing there's a problem, speaking to a doctor, knowing what it is, and make a plan. There's no way you can get to a goal if there's no plan. I mean, it's like a dream without a plan is just nothing. It's just you wanting something but then not knowing what to do. Same thing. I feel like your journey within health is the same as your journey with God. I mean, it's knowing that you need God. It's knowing that you need guidance, but it's also sticking to it. Hey, you know what? It starts with discipline. I'm going to make time for it. You know what? If I can work out in the afternoons because I have church activities, I have prayer, I have Bible studies, or whatever it is, I'm going to wake up a little bit earlier. That means I'm going to go to sleep a little bit earlier. And that means during the day, I'm going to finish my chores at a certain time. I'm going to cook at a certain time, do laundry at a certain time. So it's time managing and discipline. And get someone to keep you accountable. Get a friend. Get someone to be like, hey, you know what? Get on me if you don't see me at the gym 3 times a week, or get on me if you see me posting the wrong food or something. And even your bank accounts nowadays, like depending like of what you eat, you can go into your bank statements and there's like the big old circle pie and it's like, oh, 80% was on food. And then you're like, you look at the list like, oh, darn.
You're like, oh, dang.
Oh, I feel attacked. So there's a lot of resources out there. I mean, there's apps you can find left and right on your phones you can use for counting calories. That's why it's really important to go to your doctor to know the amount of calories you need to intake, because everything does go based off your BMIs, which is your body mass index. I mean, knowing pretty much what if your fat is more than what it needs to be. I mean, if you have more fat percentage in your body that it needs, you know, so how if you're borderline obesity, or if you are obese, because I mean, going back to like the image, I mean, you can be skinny fat. I mean, you can be look super skinny, but it's nothing but fat because you're eating things that are you're not supposed to eat. And now your body is storing up more fat because you're neglecting eating or you're not trying to eat as much. And so now your body's doing this whole change in system within itself. So that's that, doing a plan. And when it comes to eating, this is something that I'm like, ugh. You allow into your house what you want in your house. In a sense, me like buying my own groceries, it's if I buy 6 bags of hot Cheetos, and this is for everybody, I'm going to eat the 6 bags of hot Cheetos, you know? Mm-hmm. It's but if I buy carrots, fruits, grapes, bananas, peaches, and I'm naming my favorites, you know, that's what I'm going to eat. But it's what you have there is what you're going to eat. And sometimes, and it drives me nuts, and this goes for the parents, and I love you guys so much. Thank you for being parents. But you blame your child for eating so much junk food, but it's you as a parent bringing that junk food for your kids, you know? And so you're prepping, you're pretty much setting up your kids to failure already at a very young age. And then you're later on, hermanos, oren por mi hijo porque tiene eso, or pray for my son because they have this. And it's you allowing certain things. So the same goes to us. I mean, now as young adults, it's what we allow into our house too. And yeah. So I think that's ways. I mean, for me, that kind of helps. I mean, if there's an app that I can share, it would be MyFitnessPal. That itself counts your calories and measures everything throughout the day. I recommend, I mean, we're not sponsored by any of these, but an iWatch, I mean, it keeps you, your steps going, and it's like, it'll like buzz for a second, like, hey, I think it's time for you to get up. I'm not sure if you have one. Or it's at least 1 more minute and you're almost there. I mean, if you have one and you wear it.
Wow. Jade.
But it's I feel like there's so many resources out there that we can use. Even myself, I mean, I'm starting the journey. I mean, where I do my own meal prepping. I used to just, for me, because I was always on the go, I would just order my meal preps and I would just get them delivered. And at some point I was like, I can do this way cheaper. And so I started doing my own meal preps from home. And that itself kind of changed in what I eat. And it also, I mean, so many people's like, well, it's because eating healthy doesn't taste as good. But there's a lot of things that you can actually supplement certain things that are a way healthier and is still good. I mean, my top advice would be YouTube. I mean, YouTube has a lot of great recipes that you can use. I mean, changing, I mean, I was just like, if you look on my computer, I'm learning how to do like cauliflower rice instead of like the regular rice. And I mean, there's so many resources of out there. And I'm sure you can even ask the older hermanas at church too. I mean, some of them know how to like substitute, like, oh, hermana, like instead of me using the regular corn oil, oh, well, you know what? You can use the avocado oil. So there's a lot of things, it's asking, you shall receive type of things where you got to look into apps, there's books, there's online podcasts, there's also YouTube videos, and there's a lot of people who, I mean, you don't know what to do, you want to work out your legs, well, search up, hey, workouts for legs, or workout for abs, or workout for this, or workout for whatever it is. There is many resources. It's just a matter of fact if you really want this.
Yeah.
And not just wanting it. I mean, it's not if you want. This is you have to obey what God is calling you to do. Not if, mm-hmm. man, that was for me. It's like, it's not if I want to, it's we have to.
It's like, he's not giving us a choice of like, oh, I want to be healthy or I don't want to be healthy. It's like, well, mm-hmm. we just went through all the scripture. Like, mm-hmm. it's from God. So, you know, we have to take it as that. But as far as like everything that you said, I think was spot on. You did very well, like, you know, giving some ways for people to start in that new journey, or, you know, changing the way that they do things, the way that they eat, or even fitness, you know, going into discipline. And it's just something you have to train your body to start doing something else that it's not used to do. And it's hard.
And it's an investment. You
know? Yeah.
It's going to be an investment. At the beginning, it's an investment because, say, for instance, you have to sign up for a gym, or you have to start buying certain weights for home, or start buying certain tools within the kitchen that you can use to cook better, or certain ingredients. You probably have to get a new set of groceries for your kitchen, or it's going to be an investment. And at the beginning, it may seem like, oh, this is too expensive. But it, if you don't make time for your wellness now, you're going to end up making time for your sickness later. So I'd rather, again, I'm a big advocate for prevention is the best medicine. And if you don't make time for your health now, you're going to have to make time for your sickness later. And those medical bills are way more expensive than you changing that, I don't know, burger of $3 for a $6 pound of, I don't know, ground turkey, 100% lean, you know, by Trader Joe's. I'm just kidding. Yeah. it's not a commercial, but I mean, it is going to be investment and it is going to cost you, but trust me, there's no better investment than yourself, because then you don't want the fact that your unhealthy ways or the way your body is now block you from growing within your ministry or even simply from praising God, because you can't even stand on your feet for too long because you weren't able to take care of your heart. Now you have to sit down, or your knees are now weak. I mean, it's a lot of things that can portray within the health, and that will catch up to you eventually. But there's something I do want to clarify, and I do take this in consideration when I was thinking about health. There's people who genetically are born different than us. Now, I want to just say that this conversation is more for people who have the potential of being the best version of who they are, of doing the best of what God gave them. But there's one scripture that I do want to kind of just add to it. It says in John 11, verse 4, it says, "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus' sickness will not end in death.'" It says, John 11, 4 says, "But when Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus' sickness will not end in death.' No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." There will be certain sicknesses in our lives that are way out of our control. Now, with that being said, God is a God who works in such mysterious ways. And I strongly believe that there will be sicknesses in our lives that are there for God to use as a platform for his glory. Now, with that being said, I don't want you guys to go take that out of context and be like, "Well, I just want God to use me as a platform of his glory."
He was going to use me.
Funny said this, and I'm not, now I want to see his glory. No. This goes for people who did not ask for it, who their life. I mean, there's been healthy people who have been struck by this pandemic, and we've seen God done miracles in their lives. And it's crazy because I've met people. Recently, I heard a testimony of a young man who had HIV, and when he met his salvation, or he met his savior, and he surrendered his life and gave his life to Christ, he was like, "The gift of me just receiving salvation is greater than me asking even for my well-being of God doing a miracle within my health." And he said, "Whether God heals me or not, God is still God." And so if you're going through a situation where you're just like, "Well, I've tried it all. I've done it all." You can see the woman of flujo de sangre. Can you help me with that?
The issue of blood? I think that's hot.
The woman who touched God's garment. And see, and so in stories like that, I mean, like Lazarus, like Bartimeo. I mean, there's many, many stories about God doing miracles upon people and using their sicknesses as platform of his glory. That can go relate to other people who were born with different disabilities, and they can advocate for themselves in their situation. For me, I'm talking about people who have been gifted of, I want to say, fully functional body, if we can say it that way, and we take it for granted. When I see other people, and it's crazy because I see people who have deficiencies or have disabilities, and they take care of themselves like A1, and they're like, they're probably paralyzed from the waist down, and they're working out every single day at the gym, and it's crazy to see that, you know. And then there's us, I mean, I'm gonna throw myself in there, who have the ability to do all these things, yet we take it for granted. But that's why I just want to just share upon that side of, when it comes to sicknesses, that's more of like God using it in a more miraculous way, rather than on our end, just God confronting us and just being like, "Hey, this is what you ought to do. I already gave you this gift. I already died on the cross for you. Now live your best life. And it's up to us to do that.
It is. Honestly, like, just to finish up my last, like, thought on just all of this, right? The church may not think that they have the tools to teach health, but they do, right? This is scripture. So I think pastors owe it to themselves, their members, and we owe it to ourselves and our fellow brethren to do better, and to do better together. So we can choose to glorify God in the body of Christ and start the conversation of doing better with our health and with God in general. So that's my finishing thoughts. That. You know, it's I feel like we just need to do better in every way. I think this whole conversation, you know, like there was so much in there. I think we hit on a lot of different things that, you know, we should be talking about more. So create a conversation within your church, within your, you know, closer circle and talk about these things more, because there are things that are biblical and things that we need to do better at, and things I personally need to do better at, you know, concerning my health. And I'm sure I can speak for you too. You have some things that you need to change too. So it's like,
most definitely.
It's not just we're just having a conversation, but it goes both ways. You know, the word of God goes both ways. It goes to us, it goes to you. And so, you know, if you're struggling with something, hey, you know, talk to somebody about it and see how you can change it.
There's a quote that Pastor Frank Romo always says. Well, he said it once, and I feel like I'm the one always using it. But he said, the devil knows he cannot destroy the church, therefore he distracts her. And so that distraction can be our health as well. That distraction of him taking us, it's like I'm getting pulled out of my soccer game because my ankle or my knee or whatever the case may be. And so now I'm on the sidelines. I don't get to play part of the game. I don't get to be part of the winning team because I'm on the sidelines of I have to take care of this. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there is time wasted of me being on the sidelines when I know I could have been within the game. Same thing goes within our walk with God, that the enemy will distract you with your health, distract you from taking care of your health. And now your health will be that distraction of fulfilling what God wants you to do. Well, now because you didn't take care of your health, now you have more doctor's appointments. Now you have to go. You can't go certain places. Now because of the height, you can't go to camp. You can't go here. You can't go there. And so it's really important for us to understand that our fight is not against flesh. There's an enemy out there who's trying to distract us. And if we can wake up now, I mean, I know there can be a big difference. It's sad to see. And my condolences to everybody who lost somebody during this pandemic. But we saw all these diseases creep up on a lot of men of God and a lot of women of God. And to see them pass, I mean, it was crazy. And at one point in 2020 where every day I would log in onto Facebook, I mean, I would see like prayer for this family because such and such person passed, such and such person passed. We never expected. And we got to take care of our own. We got to take care of our team. And we are one, we're a kingdom, we're family, we're an army of God that we have to work together. And if I see my partner lying on the line of danger, I mean, my job is to pull him out. Hey, you know what? Instead of just hanging out and just watching a movie at our house, let's go for a walk at the park. Or why don't we just go change it up a little bit? Instead of this eating this, why don't we go try this new salad bar? Or I don't know, whatever the case may be. But it just starts by making our own decisions and changing it up. Instead of like playing video games with the youth, like why don't we do a volleyball tournament? And it's changes we can do today that will make an impact in our tomorrow, which eventually would be a blessing on the expansion of the kingdom.
Honestly, thank you for coming on again, making the time. I know I usually give people a time and I'm like, hey, like, you know, like it'll be like 45 minutes, an hour. And then we end up going for like an hour 20, an hour 30. So
I think this was better time than before though.
Yeah, that's true. And they didn't even see the off like screen stuff. So,
oh my God, I know that's another half an hour.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, but thank you for coming on and thank you for making the time and just for having this conversation with me. a lot of these conversations are not easy ones. So thank you for, you know, always like being willing to have those conversations, not just with me, but with other people, you know, with family and friends and all these other things that you're doing. So keep going at it. Keep doing your thing. Keep serving God and keep doing things for the kingdom, because I know that He sees every one of those things that we do. And the little change that we can make, that's all that we're here for.
Hey, thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to subscribe and tune in next week for another episode.